Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's May 25th, 2025, and that means there's 7 months until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to explore the very colorful history of Scandinavia's favorite Christmas animal, the Yule Goat. We'll also count down the top 5 corporate Christmas marketing fails. We'll give you an excellent deep-fried recipe sure to be a hit at a Christmas party or any party. And listener Chris will give us some micro-reviews of multiple adaptations of A Christmas Carol. Okay, let's start the show! Greetings, Yule Believers, and welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who can't see you when you're sleeping and has no idea when you're awake, Tim Babb. It's Memorial Day weekend here in America when this episode airs, and while that is certainly a solemn occasion where we honor those who have fallen while serving in our armed forces, it is also considered the official kickoff of summer, which means we can say we're officially one season closer to Christmas. But I can't be bothered to wait for 2 whole more seasons to pass. I need a little Christmas now.
We need a little Christmas now.
While they're not necessarily a strictly Christmas food, I love deviled eggs. I secretly hope someone brings them to every Christmas party I go to, and I'm overjoyed when someone does. Really any party, if I'm being honest. But is there a way to make your deviled eggs better? Yes, deep fry them. There was a restaurant we used to take my mother-in-law to that served fried deviled eggs, and I thought they were great, but I assumed they were too complicated to make at home. But then I saw a video from Southern Living's TikTok account.
Fill a pot with water and add in baking soda, of course. The baking soda helps make the eggs easier to peel. Boil them for 12 minutes, then chill in ice water and peel. Cut the eggs in half and make your filling any way you like it. I made mine super simple with mayo, mustard, relish, salt, and pepper, but you can put in whatever you like. Batter the egg whites in flour, egg, and panko and fry until golden and crisp. It took me about 1.5 to 2 minutes. Fill with filling and enjoy the crunchy deliciousness.
That looks nice and easy. I can totally do that. And I'll be a hit at my next Christmas party or any party I'm invited to. I'm joking. I don't get invited to parties. But I will post the link to the Southern Living TikTok in the show notes. But fair warning, the video will make you hungry. And now it's time for our countdown feature, 5 Golden Things.
5 Golden Things.
Corporations love to cash in on Christmas. But the key thing to remember, they're really just after your money, so it's fun to laugh at them when they mess it up. So now, let's celebrate seasonal corporate failures as we count down the top 5 Christmas marketing fails, starting with...
Number 5!
Coca-Cola's Cry Me a Christmas. This is sadly still kind of topical, but back in 2016, Coca-Cola ran a print ad wishing everyone in Russia a happy holiday and a happy new year. So far, no problems, but the ad was a map of Russia covered in Christmas trees, snowmen, and other holiday imagery. When they posted it on social media, they got a lot of complaints from Russians. Why? Because the map did not include Crimea. In 2014, Russia occupied Crimea in order to take control of it from Ukraine. Russians were very angry that Coca-Cola was saying with this map that Crimea was not a part of Russia. Coca-Cola apologized and released a new map that included Crimea. Problem solved, right? Нет, my comrades. It turns out Ukrainians have the internet too. And they did not like that Coke gave Crimea to Russia. There were calls for a nationwide boycott of Coke, with one government official saying, refuse to buy the company's products and at the same time recall that in no country in the world, including Coca-Cola's homeland, the USA, is Crimea recognized as a territory of Russia. At this point, Coke gave up and pulled all the ads down, releasing a statement that said, "We apologize for the misunderstanding. We do not support any political movements and parties. Our task is to produce high-quality beverages. We are working for the sake of peace and adhere to the rules of international law." When you have to bring the rules of international law into your apology, you know it was a big ol' whiff of Christmas marketing.
Number 4.
Domino's tries to get reindeer to deliver pizza. Moving now from Ukraine to Japan. Domino's Pizza was planning a new way to show off the company's new GPS-based delivery service, which allowed customers to monitor their pizza's journey on a special app. They were training reindeer to deliver the pizzas because, as they put it, reindeer had the advantages over a car or helicopter because it didn't need a license, since it was a light vehicle and they could carry heavy items and came with no costs. The title of an NBC News article at the time sums it up pretty well. Domino's tried a reindeer delivery program. You can guess how that went. Yeah, they made it about a week before they canceled the program. They put out a statement that said, "It hasn't been possible to solve the problems that have come up. We reluctantly decided to end the reindeer delivery program. It has been difficult to control the reindeer." So they released the reindeer back into the wild, dressed some scooters up to look like reindeer to save a little face, and everyone had more respect for Santa wrangling those reindeer every year.
Number 3.
Macy's mixes up Hanukkah and Christmas. Here's a fun fact. Christmas and Hanukkah are two completely different holidays. Yes, they often occur around the same time of year, but that doesn't mean they're interchangeable. Apparently, Macy's was unaware of this fun fact because in 2016, they sent out a marketing email with the subject line, "Happy Hanukkah! Extra 20% off ends tonight!" And when you opened the email, there was a festive graphic. One would assume it would be full of images of dreidels, menorahs, and other Hanukkah-related things. Nope! It had a couple riding a bike where the guy was dressed in a green suit with Christmas graphics on it, and the woman was wearing a red dress and Santa hat. There were Christmas ornaments scattered throughout the ad, but not a hint of Hanukkah. I couldn't find what Macy's said or did to address this, which makes me think they probably didn't do anything. They were hoping it would just go away, but they weren't counting on the renowned investigative journalism of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast to hold their feet to the fire. Take that, Macy's!
Number 2.
Bloomingdale's suggests spiking eggnog? This goes beyond a typical corporate fail into the territory of, how did this get past multiple people and get approved? In 2015, Bloomingdale's had an ad in their holiday catalog that featured a woman looking away and laughing as a young man looks at her, kind of suggestively. No real issues with that, except the text they put on top of that photo was, "Spike your best friend's eggnog when they're not looking." Hot tip, never do that. It's bad enough you're making your friend drink eggnog, don't do creepy predator stuff on top of that. As you can imagine, this did not go over well with people who saw the ad. Bloomingdale's was absolutely roasted on social media before they finally put out a statement. "We heard your feedback about our catalog copy, which was inappropriate and in poor taste. Bloomingdale's sincerely apologizes." I mean, an apology is great and all, but if you ever meet somebody who worked at Bloomingdale's marketing department, don't go to their Christmas party. Don't go anywhere with them. Actually, just run! Run!
Honorable mentions!
Kmart's copy-paste Black Friday. In 2013, Kmart decided they would open early on Thanksgiving and stay open through all of Black Friday. Many people took to social media to stick up for the workers they felt were being taken advantage of by being forced to work on Thanksgiving. But Kmart's social media team had a plan. By that I mean they copy-pasted the same exact response 100 times on social media. The statement said, "Kmart is staffing with teams and seasonal associates when possible, giving them opportunity to make extra money during the holiday." And they just kept reposting that. No matter what you said, complaining about Kmart workers working over Thanksgiving, that's just what they posted. Nothing says, no, we really care about our people, like posting the same robotic response over and over again. "We are Caring Corporation. We care for human meatbags. Happy holidays."
Number 1.
Peloton, a bike for Christmas. This one was probably one of the most famous examples in recent years, even though it's arguably the most benign of the ads on this list. The commercial is of a married couple at Christmas. The guy gives his wife a Peloton bike for Christmas, and the commercial shows a montage of her using it over the next year. On the face of it, the ad doesn't seem to be particularly controversial, but it's what people read into the ad. People took the implication that the husband bought the bike for the wife so she could lose weight, as if to say, "Hey wife, you're not attractive enough. Get on this bike and make yourself more attractive for me." That's what people were reading into this ad. What made it worse was the actress playing the wife was already quite skinny to begin with. Now, it's quite possible in the world of this commercial the wife had specifically asked for the bike for Christmas, but that's not made clear in the ad. Again, social media went crazy, and even mainstream media picked up the story. At one point, Peloton's stock took a hit. But the thing that really sets this one apart is that Ryan Reynolds' gin company, Aviation Gin, hired the same actress to make a commercial for Aviation Gin where she's in a bar being comforted by her friends. They don't explicitly mention the exercise bike, but the implication is clear. When your ad gets a whole second ad making fun of your ad, that is a Christmas marketing fail. And that's my list. Any Christmas marketing fails I missed? Let me know at can'twaitforchristmaspod@gmail.com. Now let's move on to a new feature for 2025, Chris's Mass of Christmas Carols.
Look, it's Ebenezer Scrooge, looking older and more wicked than ever.
Back in January, listener Chris wrote in saying how he was watching a different version of A Christmas Carol every month all year long. Well, after that episode, Chris has been sending me mini reviews of each version he watched. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten my act together enough to share these reviews with you on previous episodes, so we're going to kick this segment off with all of Chris's reviews from January through to May. Here we go. Chris says, in January, I watched a version narrated by Vincent Price from 1948 for the old Dumont Network TV station. I'm a big Vincent Price fan, and this hits all the beats. Nothing special, but I'm very glad to have watched it. In February, I watched the first talkie adaptation, Scrooged, starring Seymour Hicks. Also, due to the British production failing to properly file copyright in the US, it's in public domain in the US and is available free, legit, on YouTube. I like that one. I see some of the seeds of what would become later zeitgeist applications of the property, but his Scrooge came off less as a self-isolated, selfish curmudgeon and more overly cruel, so it's tougher to root for him. But I'm still thrilled to have watched it. For March, because they are so short, I watched three surviving silent era adaptations. So cool, they are all in public domain and legitimately free on YouTube, 1901, 1910, and 1923. It's wild to me that all these versions are older than my grandparents, and the first one is 2 years older than my great-grandfather was. April was rough, so I dove into the comfort of a favorite, the George C. Scott version from the 80s. He's the Scrooge I grew up with. And for May, I watched the 1977 BBC adaptation of it. I enjoyed it. Very cheap, but that added to the low-budget charm. Worth a watch. So, thank you, Chris, and we look forward to hearing more of your Christmas Carol micro-reviews in future episodes. And now, a word from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
Christmas is about traditions. Throughout the holidays, friends and family gather together to share love, laughter, and a bounty of Christmas foods. We all love tracing our family traditions back through the generations to find out where they began. But have you ever wondered about the food found on your holiday tables year after year? Join me, Glenn Warren, as the host of Seasons Eatings, and travel the world as we explore the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. New episodes are released every month. You can find Seasons Eatings at seasonseatingspodcast.com and wherever you download your favorite podcast. So join me, Glenn Warren, for your next serving of Seasons Eatings.
Welcome back. Now, you know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Vixen, but do you recall the most crazy Christmas animal of all? The Christmas animal we're going to talk about today will take us all the way from Norse mythology to roving gangs to repeated arson. Yes, there's a lot to unpack as we learn about the Yule Goat.
In der kleben Julebock, schäggig go med luden rock, han tog ur en påse små paketer upp.
Our legend begins with a popular bearded figure known the world over who's riding across the sky and being pulled by animals with antlers that don't typically fly. Nope. Not this time, Mr. Kringle. Sit this one out. This story starts with Thor.
Bring me Thanos!
No, not the MCU Thor, the original Thor of Norse mythology. He used to ride in a chariot that was pulled across the sky by two goats. And just to show you how different this Thor is from the Chris Hemsworth version that we've all come to love, he would also occasionally eat these goats. Yep, he would kill them, cook their meat, eat them up, and the next day, use his hammer Mjolnir to bring them back to life. In fact, there's even a story once where he used the goats to feed a family. Mom, dad, two kids, boy and a girl. He told them they could eat the goat meat, but not to harm the bones. The next day, when he used Mjolnir and brought the goats back to life, he noticed one of them had a limp. It turns out it was because the little boy had broken the goat's bones to suck the marrow out. As punishment, Thor takes the boy and his sister as his servants. So, complain all you want about Thor Love and Thunder, at least that scene wasn't in it, even though they did include the goats.
In return for your service, please accept these gifts. As is tradition, the protectors of our world are bestowed with great beasts.
Giant goats!
Oh, look at those! They are wonderful! Oh, look at that! Those things are beautiful!
Yes, they are beautiful. They also scream quite a lot.
But I hear you wondering what any of this has to do with Christmas. Well, that's where our story goes from Asgard to Sweden.
Yindish Ferdy Herdy Burski.
And any Swedish listeners have just turned off the podcast. Now, before Christmas came around, Yule was the winter festival celebrated by Germanic peoples, which included the Scandinavian countries like Sweden. Yule was very intertwined with Norse mythology, and in ancient Sweden, they had a practice known as Julofer, or Yule sacrifice. During Julofer, someone would dress in goatskins and carry around an effigy of a goat. They would be symbolically slaughtered and then returned to life in the morning. This is where folks believe that the legend of the Yulebuck, or Yule Goat, started. Then, there's the tradition of Yulebucking. It's kind of a combination of caroling, trick-or-treating, and pure madness. People would go out in groups, dressed as goats, or just in a disguise with a goat skin on, and they would go door-to-door demanding food and drink. Sometimes, they would take the man of the house, make him dress as a goat too, and then head out to the next house. And the group would just get bigger and more intoxicated with each house they visited. And it must have been really rough to be the last house on that block. Then, as Christianity comes to Europe, the Yule Goat is seen as demonic and kind of falls out of favor. But you can't keep a good Yulebock down. Eventually, the Yule Goat would find its way into celebrations of Christmas. Legends grew that the Yule Goat would suddenly appear before Christmas to check that the Yule preparations were being done correctly, sort of a Christmas quality control. There were depictions of the Yule Goat helping Santa, or sometimes even giving Santa a ride on its back. Yulebucking made a comeback in a slightly different form, where people would go door-to-door dressed in goatskins, but instead of asking for things, they would give presents. The Yule Goat even found its way onto many a Christmas tree in the form of Christmas ornaments. The origin of these ornaments goes back to pagan times, where it was thought that the last sheaf of corn from last year's harvest was imbued with magical powers. So that cut of grain was saved and wrapped with straw to make it a goat shape for Yuletide, where it was thought it would keep evil spirits at bay. There was even a prank people would play with the Yule Goats, where you would hide it in your friend's house without them noticing. Then if the friend finds the goat, they have to hide it in someone else's house. So to recap, so far we've had the costume door-to-door shenanigans of Halloween, the drinking of New Year's Eve, and the scavenger hunts of Easter. These Scandinavians know how to pack it all into one holiday. But we're not quite done yet. No discussion of the Yule Goat can be complete without talking about the Gävle Goat. Gävle is a city in Sweden, and in 1966, a man named Stig Gavlin had the idea to build a huge Yule Goat in the town square. He thought it would bring more foot traffic to the area, and people would spend more time and money shopping and eating in the area. So he had his brother, Fire Chief Jörgen Gavlin, design the goat. It stood 42.5 feet tall, nearly 23 feet long, and weighed 3 tons. It was made out of straw and ribbons on a wire frame. On the 1st of December, it was put in place and indeed a sight to behold, and attracted many an onlooker. Unfortunately, it also invited trouble. That New Year's Eve, the goat was burned down. They found the perpetrator, and they were charged with vandalism. But all of this goat goodness caught the eye of a group of businessmen called the Southern Merchants. They decided to fund the building of another giant Yule Goat the next year in 1967. That went so well, they did it again in 1968. And now it was a tradition, so they did it again in 1969, where the goat was again burnt down on New Year's Eve. In 1970, the goat was burnt down 6 hours after they put it up. They had to scramble to rebuild it out of reeds from the nearby lake. By 1971, the Southern Merchants had decided they'd had enough of people burning down the goat, so they stopped funding it. But that's not the end of this crazy goat story, because the National Science Club from the School of Vasa stepped up in the Southern Merchants' absence and made a slightly smaller but still quite large Yule Goat so the tradition could continue. And it was not burned down for the next 3 years. I mean, it did get smashed to pieces in 1971, it collapsed due to sabotage in 1972, and in 1973 it was stolen by some dude who put it in his backyard. He spent 2 years in prison for doing it, so I feel like it might not have been worth it. By 1974, things were getting back to normal. And by normal, I mean the goat was set on fire again. But in 1975, no one had a chance to destroy the goat because it collapsed under its own weight. I would love to tell you that the story gets better from here for this poor goat, but it doesn't. In 1976, hit by a car. 1977, burned down. 1978, kicked to pieces. Kicked! In 1979, it was burnt before they were even done constructing it. So they built a second one and fireproofed it. The fireproof goat was then destroyed and broken into pieces. In 1980, the goat was burnt down on Christmas Eve. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and in old Gävle town, a whole bunch of vandals burned the Yule Goat right down. But then finally, in 1981, the goat finally made it through the whole season without being burnt, kicked, crashed into, or otherwise ruined. They did it! Christmas spirit had finally won out, and the Yule Goat survived the whole season! Things were finally starting to turn around! Until the next year, when it was burned down on December 13th. In 1983, the goat's legs were destroyed. 84, burned down. 85, burned down. 86, burned down. But wait, what's this? The Southern merchants have stepped back into the Yule Goat Arena. In 1986, they build a Yule Goat for the first time in over a decade. Now there are two each year, one from the Southern merchants and one from the Natural Science Club. And yeah, the Natural Science Club goat got burnt down, but the Southern merchants goat also got burnt down. In 1987, though, they both burnt down again. Finally, in 1988, someone stepped in to finally do the sensible thing. Let people place bets on whether the goat would be destroyed or not, because that's what all this Christmas arson and vandalism was missing, gambling. And for sure, the safe money was to bet that the goat would be destroyed, since it had only survived three times between 1966 and 1987. Well, just to punish you for making that bet, the goat survived in 1988. In 1989, to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the time the goat was set ablaze before it was even assembled, the goat was set ablaze before it was even assembled! But they put together a new one, and the vandals waited all the way until January before setting that one on fire. In 1990, a group of volunteers guarded the goats, and they survived once again. But those volunteers must have taken the next year off, because in 1991, it burned down on Christmas Eve again. In 1992, the Southern Merchants and the Natural Science Club's goats were burned down on the same night. The Southern Merchants rebuilt their goat, and it was burned down again on December 20th. Apparently, it was the same person who did the burning all three times. They caught them and sent them to jail. I also bet they had a stocking filled with coal that Christmas. In 1993, the goats made it through the whole season unscathed. But then, in 1994, it happened again! 2 years in a row! We're on a streak, baby! The goat is back and nothing can stop us now! Until 1995, when it gets burned down on Christmas Day! In 1996, things get serious. They install webcams to monitor the Yule Goat, and it works! The goat survives again! In 1997, someone had the bright idea of shooting fireworks off near the goat. It survived, but it was a little bit damaged. In 1998, there was a huge blizzard. But they still braved the elements and made sure the Yule goat was up. And the hooligans also braved the elements to somehow successfully set fire to the goat in a blizzard. 1999, it burned down. 2000, burned down. 2001, give you a hint, but it rhymes with schmurnschmown. In 2001, though, it was an American who did it, Lawrence Jones from Cleveland, Ohio, who apparently thought it was a local tradition to burn the goat down. He was supposed to be in jail for a month, but they let him out after 18 days. They fined him 100,000 Swedish kroners and confiscated his lighter. Once he was released from prison, he fled the country without paying the fine. It remains unpaid to this day. And American tourists wonder why other countries don't like us. In 2002, someone tried to burn the goat down, but failed. It was only a bit damaged. By 2003, they were back on track. By that I mean they was successfully burned down. 2004, burned down again. 2005, two chuckleheads dressed as Santa and a gingerbread man fire flaming arrows into the goat. It burns down and the pair is never caught. In 2006, the Southern Merchants goat survived, but the Natural Science Club's goat is burned. Similarly, in 2007, the Southern Merchants goat made it out unscathed, but the Natural Science Club goat got toppled over on December 13th and then burned down on Christmas Eve. In 2008, someone decided that the fire retardant looked ugly, so they didn't use it that year. You already know what I'm going to say next. Yeah, they burned it down. Oh yeah, they burned that goat down good. 2009, hackers do a denial-of-service attack on the webcams of the Southern Merchants goat, and then burn the goat down. Meanwhile, after trying and failing to throw the National Science Club goat into the river, someone loads it on a truck and drives off with it. In 2010, someone tried to bribe one of the guards to leave his post so they could steal the goat with a helicopter, but the guard refused and the goat survived. 2011, burned down. 2012, burned down again. But I especially love the synopsis from Wikipedia for 2012. On the evening of the 12th of December, the fire department had fireproofed the goat at 10:49 p.m. At 11:46 p.m., the official Gävle Brocken account tweeted about feeling good. At 11:56 p.m., the goat had been burned to the ground. 2013, goat burned down. 2014, there were three attempts to burn the Southern Merchants goat, but it survived. The Natural Science Club goat, however, straight up collapsed. 2016 was the Gävle goat's 50th anniversary, and it was burned on day one, within hours of its 50th birthday party. 2017, the goat survived. 2018, they tried to burn it down, but did only minor damage, counting that one as a win. 2019, the goat didn't burn, but someone brought a little hay goat to the area and burned the little hay goat instead. Again, I'm gonna count that as a win. 2020 was the pandemic. People had to stay home, and since you can't destroy a Yule goat via Zoom, it survived again. 2021, not so lucky. Both goats burned. 2022, they both survived. 2023, a new wrinkle. There was more seed than usual in the straw used to make the goats, so flocks of birds called jackdaws descended on the goats and pecked them to pieces. Then we get to last year. They used different straw, had guards, a double fence, and a 24-hour webcam, and the goat made it. Now, you're probably wondering, did Tim need to go through that year by year? Absolutely, because just saying that the goat has only survived or partially survived 21 times since 1966 doesn't paint the full picture. It's worth noting that it survived or partially survived 7 out of the last 10 years and 4 out of the last 5, so maybe things are looking up for the Yevle goat. If all this Yule goat talk has you inspired and you want to add some goat sounds to your Christmas celebration, you're in luck. All I Want for Christmas is a Goat is a festival album of goats singing popular holiday songs. The album was put together by ActionAid Sweden to raise awareness about the important role goats play in fighting poverty. You can hear some of the classics sung goat style, like Jingle Bells, Silent Night, and Joy to the World. Maybe the album won't make your annual Christmas playlist every year, but you gotta admit, this was certainly quite a journey we've been on learning about the Yule Goat. That's why I'm officially declaring the Yule Goat to be the goat of crazy Christmas animals. And that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. When you're done here, you can go to can'twaitforchristmaspod.com, or you can go now if you want. I'm not the boss of you, but whenever you go, you'll find the show notes of this episode that have the link to Southern Living's deep-fried deviled egg recipe video, links to several of those public domain versions of A Christmas Carol that Chris reviewed for us, and you can always email me at can'twaitforchristmaspod@gmail.com with any questions or comments, especially suggestions for our annual anniversary episode in July. This year is our 10th anniversary. Can you believe we've been doing this show for a decade? That is crazy. If you have any ideas that you think would make our 10th anniversary episode special, please send them in to, again, christmaspod@gmail.com. Okay, I'll leave you thinking about that for now, but we'll be back in June to celebrate the halfway point of Christmas. Until then, Yule believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2025.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On Blue Sky, we are at Christmas Pod, and on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are at Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
It's Memorial Day weekend here in America when this episode airs, and while that's certainly a solemn occasion where we... occasion? It's an occasion. It's an occasion. It's Memorial Day weekend here in America when this episode airs, and while that is certainly a solemn occasion where... why can't I say the word occasion after the word solemn? Occasion. Like, that's not... I don't say the word that way, but apparently if it follows the word solemn, that's how I say it. No. Bad lips. No cookie for you. But the thing that really sets this one apart is that Ryan Reynolds' gin company, Ryan Reynolds. So flustered by even saying his name. let me know at christmaspod@gmail.com. Well, that's why I couldn't sign in. I forgot my own email address and I tried to sign in and it just wouldn't work. Now I know why. And for May, I watched the 1977 BVD. It's all about underwear. Is BVD even still a thing? The origins of these ornaments. Origin of ornaments. Those are two words that don't need to be right next to each other. Why couldn't I have written it some other way? No discussion of the Yule Goat can be... No discussion of the Yule Goat. You know what? I might as well not finish the sentence because I am not sure how to say the name of this town. Let me just look it up on YouTube real quick and hopefully I can pronounce it correctly. Yevle. Yevle. Okay. Yevle. 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 Twas the night before Christmas and old... Oh, I already forgot the name of how to say it. Yevle. 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 I'm clearly not going to remember it. At 11:46 p.m., Yavle? I forgot it again. Yevle. Yevle. Every time I have to look up how to say Yevle, every time. It falls out of my head every time. Andy, that's our show. That's what I wrote. Instead of writing and, I wrote Andy. So, Andy, if you're listening, that's our show. Thanks for listening, buddy. Hopefully there's someone named Andy listening who's like, finally! It's finally for me! And you can always email me at christmaspod@gmail.com with any questions or comments. Especially suggestions for our animal. It's our animal anniversary episode. Rawr! It's our anniversary. Rawr. That just sounds like a pirate. christmaspod@gmail.com. If you have any ideas that you think would make our 10th anniversary episode special, please send them in to... Why can't I get... It's the last three sentences of the podcast and I can't get it done.
We'd love to connect with you at social media.
On social media?
Yeah, you want me to start over?
Yeah. Michael was here.
Get out.
Michael is gone.
Yeesh.
TikTok, Facebook, Instagram.
Outtakes.
Get your intake into the bathroom. Hit the app. We are at Christmas Pod.
Okay.
Let me close this door so the toilet flushing and bath water doesn't come in.
And on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are at Christmas. No, we're not.
We can just pick it up after the at. So.
We are at Can't Wait for Christmas Pod.
Nailed it!
Nailed it!